Would it be crazy to enjoy more love in your life in under 60 minutes? Welcome to the Love with Intelligence radio show. I am your host, Lily Wolford, an international relationship and dating coach, and I have supported thousands of people like you to enjoy real, honest, and genuine love that lasts, using behavioral psychology, body language, profiling, and so much more. Join us now as we dive into the deepest topics about love, dating, heartbreaks, and relationships.
Hello and welcome. So today we've got a really interesting topic, and I wanted to talk today about healthy vulnerability. Because the funny thing is, when I hear a lot of people sort of talk about dating, and when they've gone into, you know, gone into a first date scenario, it's almost like, okay, what can I say? What can't I say? How can I avoid oversharing about, you know, ex-partners and all these different things? And I think vulnerability is like a really important topic because it is about how we connect with other people and how we experience love. It's also how we, you know, create things. We can't create anything without vulnerability. So vulnerability is really, really important. But the funny thing is there's a healthy version and there's an unhealthy version as well. And I think that's really, really important to be able to put that out there, because you can self-sabotage and overshare and be too vulnerable with the wrong kind of person. You can be vulnerable with a narcissist who doesn't have your best interests at heart. You can be overly vulnerable in a way to push someone away from you, almost to prove, oh, look, there's another person that's gone running. And actually, you've just shared a load of trauma in a very traumatic way. And yes, it's probably sent the other person running in the running and screaming in the other direction, and probably half traumatized. So there is a healthy and unhealthy way of being able to connect to someone, through vulnerability, through sharing different things about you and about your life and things that have happened to you and the X-Files and all the rest of it. But it's making sure that you're doing it in a way which actually inspires connection. And it's also doing that with someone who, you know, has your best interests at heart, someone who actually cares for you and cares about you. And I think that's probably the two main areas where a lot of people tend to go wrong. Because the thing is, you don't want to share very vulnerable information about yourself, which could, you know, be used against you. You don't want to share that with certain things with a stranger who you don't know if they've, you don't really know who they are and what their intentions are or anything like that. So the first thing is, and I think this is really, really important, it's about really understanding what you are comfortable with that person. It's like, do you feel comfortable opening up to them? Do you feel like you are being accepted? Do you feel that they have your best interests at heart? Because I think, you know, we often forget about that gut feeling, don't we? When in fact, that gut feeling is often more right than wrong. So if I was going to say to you, like, I want you to think about a date that you've been on, one maybe it's gone great, one maybe it's not gone so great. You know, what was your gut feeling when you first met that person? Because that's usually the most accurate. Like, I'll say that for nothing. What did you actually feel? What did you notice about that person? Did you feel comfortable with that person? Or did a part of you think, oh, I'm not sure about this person, I'm not sure about their intentions or whatever it might be? Trust that. Like, seriously, trust that. Because you, like I said, usually our instincts are completely spot on. But it's our logical mind that steps in and goes, oh, don't be so silly, I'm sure it'll be fine. And this comes from childhood. So if you think about when you're younger and you turn around and say something on the lines of, oh, I really don't like, Uncle Bob. I don't know why Uncle Bob, but we'll go with Uncle Bob. And, you know, you can say, I've got this really weird feeling. I don't like him. I don't want to say hello to him. you know, your parents might turn around and said, don't be so silly. Uncle Bob is your uncle. He's family. He's lovely. He brought you a lovely present for Christmas. Now go and say hello to your uncle. And you can see how logically, you know, we're told to shut down those gut instincts. So it's really, really important to be able to actually start trusting them again and validating what we are feeling instead of like trying to change it or manipulate it with logic. Because the truth is, you know, that instinct is there for a reason. And we've, you know, the reason we've had it is because it's been, you know, it's basically been created to keep us safe back in the caveman days. We had to trust that instinct. So this is why it's been highly, highly tuned. And you think how we've kept that to this moment and survived all those, you know, all those different things to get us this point so we can actually be born today. So it's going to be pretty good. It's going to be pretty, pretty heightened. So what I want you to do is I actually want you to start trusting that and almost notice, okay, what is it trying to tell you? The other thing is, as well, is listen to how it's being received. Like, how is that vulnerability being received? And also, what are you searching for out of it? You know, because there's a difference between, like, being able to share something because you want to be open with someone. And there's a difference between that and actually wanting, you know, the pity party if it's a sad story, or oh yes, you're an amazing person if you want a bit of like a pat on the back and a bit of validation. Or, you know, if you're looking for approval, like, is it okay if I say this? So if you're saying it from any of those places, chances are you're not really looking for connection, you're looking for some sort of form of validation. You know, what would happen if you could actually share something openly so you can actually connect and not worry about yourself so much? So think about the outcome that you're actually wanting from the interaction with this person and from sharing the information that you want to share. Now, it's quite funny because when we think about sharing something vulnerable as well, and we're thinking about reactions, we're also thinking, what is the appropriate reaction to have to what you are sharing with someone? Because this is really important too, because this is like the perfect opportunity to spot anyone who's slightly narcissistic or emotionally immature, and not, you know, emotionally unintelligent. So if it's something that requires a bit of empathy to receive, then see how they act. Look for that empathy. Is the empathy there? Are they saying, oh my gosh, I have no idea how you got through that. What was it like going through that experience? I'm so sorry. You know, that must have been terrifying, or that must have been so sad. You know, can they actually link up the emotions to the experience that you're talking about? And how do they explore that situation with you? Do they explore it, or do they shut it down and bring back the situation back to them? Now, it's really important as well to notice if they are bringing the conversation back to them, how they are doing it. Because if you have a look at the DISC analysis, so there's a way of profiling people. So it's like we have a look at DISC profiling. If someone's a high I, which stands for influence, then chances are they will actually repeat a similar experience or an experience where they felt a similar way, and it's a way of them trying to connect. If that's the case, that's healthy, that's fine. But if they're sharing something to almost go, well, this is bigger, this is more important than yours, this has got more significance than yours, or they just change the subject completely, then chances are they don't have any emotional intelligence, which might indicate narcissism, you know, it just shows that they don't have that level of emotional intelligence or that emotional maturity to be able to connect with you on that level. And if that's the case, personally, I wouldn't share or divulge any more information with that person. And that's important. You know, you don't want to share information that's emotional and vulnerable to you with people who aren't emotionally intelligent enough to protect it. Because then what happens is if you're in a situation, let's say you find out that person's a narcissist or someone that doesn't have your best interests at heart, you've just shared very vulnerable information with someone who could potentially abuse it, and you don't want to be in that situation. So it's important to understand who you are sharing that information with. Then when it comes to actually what you are sharing with someone and how you are sharing with someone, like I said, you know, think about, you know, why you want to share that with them. Is it so they have a deeper understanding of who you are? Or is it for to get a specific reaction? Think about where it is coming from, because we can always feel the difference between genuine connection and you know, that forced, all that forced thing of like, oh my gosh, oversharing, and you're expecting this kind of reaction from me. We all know, and you know, we all feel that when we're kind of forced in a situation where it's like, oh gosh, I've got to tell this person how bad that is, or I've got to acknowledge this because they've been openly vulnerable, that this feels awkward. We've all been in those situations and you don't want that. So always think about the context of what you are sharing and where you are sharing it from. And I think the other thing is as well, think about your environment. Like where are you sharing this information? Are you sharing it on a first date in a real noisy nightclub? Or are you sharing it in a space where you can actually talk, like a nice cafe or something, or, you know, country walk or something like that? Think about how you are sharing this information and where you're sharing it. Because, you know, the environment's going to have a huge effect on, you know, your communication, what you can share, and how you're sharing it too. Think about it. You don't want to shout out a very vulnerable, vulnerable memory in a jam-packed, noisy nightclub. You know, you can't shout it out and share for everyone to hear. And also, you want to be able to have that environment where you've got that chance to be able to really talk about it and explore it together. So I think that's really, really important. And I think the other thing is, vulnerability doesn't necessarily have to be this thing where you go into like painful memories and all these like terrible things. You know, it can be, you know, sharing what you want for your future. It can be about a dream that you had. It can be talking about what you wanted to be as a child. You know, I think we all, you know, associate vulnerable as this negative thing and pain and all the rest of it. It doesn't have to be the case at all. It can be talking about the dreams that you have, the things that you love, because, you know, that's things we don't usually talk about when it comes to, you know, if you think about like a business relationship, for example, you wouldn't necessarily share those intimate things about you in that kind of setting, but you would when it comes to actually wanting to create a connection with someone. And I think it's really interesting because, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of the 36 love questions. So these questions have actually been created psychologically to increase love between two people. It's like a gateway of making two people fall in love. And the reason is because it goes through, things like your dreams, things about things that you love, things that cause you to feel excited, or things that cause you to feel afraid, things that you hate, painful memories. And the reason why it dives into all these different areas is because you're exploring these conversations that we wouldn't normally have in these kind of situations. So they're really novelty. And when we experience novelty, like a novelty experience with someone, it can actually increase closeness. And when you're going through the emotional highs and lows with someone, it can create closeness as well. It can cause that bond. So, and this is one of the reasons as well, if you think about a narcissistic relationship, you go through the highs and lows pretty significantly throughout that relationship, which creates a trauma bond. Now, obviously this, you know, 36 love questions don't create a trauma bond, but we do go through the highs and lows of sharing very intimate relation, you know, information about ourselves. So do check those out, because some of those questions can be really, really cool to kind of ask on a date. And when you're asking things like, you know, what's your biggest fear, or what's your biggest ambition in life, or what is it that you'd love to be able to achieve, or what do you believe love is? When we're being asked those kind of questions, or we're listening to the answer of those questions, you can get so much from someone. You can see someone's beliefs, you can see someone's values, you can understand what's important to someone. And that's super, super important when it comes to actually meeting a compatible partner. You know, think about it. You know, vulnerability is the only way that you can actually truly understand someone and truly connect with someone and decide if you actually want a relationship with them or not, because you understand their values as a person, who they are, how they act, what they prioritize in their life. And that can give you a huge indicator of their behavior and how they rationalize their behavior as well, which is huge when it comes to relationships, because you can predict who they would be in a relationship too. So it's very, very clever, really. So, you know, that can be a very, very healthy way to connect. And let's say that you've been in a relationship for a while and you're looking for that emotional connection, that ability to be able to build more intimacy in your relationship. Well, you know, start talking about things like, you know, the future, for example, or your hopes and dreams, or, you know, just different things that you've never really explored together. Maybe about how, you know, how you're feeling. You'll be amazed how many couples don't constructively talk about their emotions, how they're feeling, how they feel about each other, how they feel about certain situations. Because, you know, the other thing is around creating a healthy vulnerability in a relationship between two people is actually creating that safe space where you won't be judged, where you won't be criticized, where you'll be accepted for you. Because that's important when it comes to vulnerability. You need to be able to feel like you can be you. And, you know, when we have a look at, you know, relationships that break down, there's either a space where that person's not able to be themselves, or they're not fully accepted for who they are. So that's really, really important. And it's also like one of the reasons why a lot of men tend to shut down in relationships. And I say men in particular, because men, they often find it quite hard to open up. And often, I'm not going to say all the time, but often, women tend to get into this position where they are the runner of the relationship. They almost become the parent in the relationship, and their partner becomes the child. So that dynamic's off. So the men tend to feel nagged. They tend to feel like they're not good enough in the relationship, and it causes them to shut down, because women tend to go into the whole criticizing mode, saying, oh gosh, can't you just take the kids to school? I've asked you to do this. Why haven't you done this? And that tends to be a very common pattern in relationships. So it's really important to actually identify how you are communicating as a couple. How are you communicating in your relationship? And how are you doing that from the very beginning if you're very new in the relationship? You know, if it's a new relationship. Because the thing is, we don't set out to get into a pattern of trying to nag each other or telling each other off, or, you know, criticizing each other or whatever that might be, you know, because, you know, you all have your ups and downs in relationships. But everything starts with awareness. You need to be aware of actually what's going on. How are you communicating? How are you creating that space where someone feels that they can be themselves around you? And I think this is the thing, you know, healthy vulnerability only really happens when you've got that rapport. And the beauty of this, if you are very new and you're dating and, you know, you really want to get to know someone quickly to understand, okay, are they safe to be with? Are they someone who's compatible with me? There's some very cool things that you can do that allows someone to really open up to you and show themselves to you, show who they really are. And this is all about creating that space, that non-judgment space, and being able to explore. So what you can do is you can build this rapport. And the way you build rapport quickly is you can do it through body language and also mimicking their language back. So let's start with language. is a really cool technique called the echo technique. And it's pretty much what it says on the tin. You echo back what you hear to someone. So it might be that they say, oh, hi, I'm sorry I'm late. There was terrible traffic trying to get here. So, taxi was late. Oh, wow, there was terrible traffic, so your taxi was late? That's literally all you do. You just parrot back to them what they're saying. Yeah, that was, my taxi was late. I was really worried about getting to you. So I'm really, really sorry about that. That's the thing with taxis in New York. You know, you never know what time you're going to get there. And you could say, oh, that's so true. You know, taxis in New York, you never know when you're going to get anywhere. So you're literally parroting back. And yet the funny thing is when you first use this technique, you can feel so self-conscious. Like, it's almost like you feel like you're taking the mick out of someone. Because it feels so obvious to you, but it's not. It's literally, it's not obvious to the person that you're doing it with. So definitely, like, test this out. Like, test out at work, test out with friends, and just see how long you can actually do it for before you feel like someone actually cottons on. But you'll be amazed. And the conversation goes into variety of different areas that you'd be amazed with. And the nice thing is, the person that you're talking to feels heard. And that can be like something so powerful to someone, when someone feels heard. Because if you think about it, there's not many spaces in life where we actually feel like someone's really paid attention to us and really paid attention to what we've said, and that's been, you know, and someone that's been curious to be able to understand us more. So I think that's something that's pretty, like, powerful to be able to provide someone. And the other thing that's really powerful around echoing is the fact that you're actually using their words. You know, if you're using their words back to them, it means that they feel understood, and they feel like you're on the same wavelength because you're using similar words, and if they feel understood at that through being able to use those words. So the other thing that you can do is you can actually copy their body language. So this is something called matching and mirroring. And so what you do is, if someone's got their arms crossed, cross your arms. And when we actually see someone who's got the same body language as us, we only pick up on this subconsciously. And we say, okay, this person's thinking the same way as me. That person's feeling the same way as me. And we instantly feel very connected to that person. So it's a very powerful thing to be able to do. And you can also, you don't have to mirror exactly. You can also do something called matching. So, you know, for example, you could have your arms crossed whilst they've got their legs crossed, and that would still have a very similar element that would happen, where you feel connected in that conversation. So when you feel like you're both on each other's wavelength, you're going to feel more comfortable to be able to open up more. And that's what we want for that person to go ahead and do. We want them to open up more and share more things. And the other important thing is being able to listen actively, repeat words back to them. So, you know, if you're not using the echoing technique, think about what they're saying. So if they say, oh, I feel angry, you know, you don't want to repeat back to them, oh, you feel really frustrated, because instantly there's going to be a disconnect. Because those words are going to mean very, very different things to the pair of you. Even if you're talking about anger, your anger is going to be very different to my anger. So you want to be able to mirror back those words together, so then that person feels more understood. Because we're talking about their version of anger, their definition of anger. And the same goes for any kind of word that they actually use. So their warm might be a different version of warm for you. But you don't want to step in and break their experience. We just want to be able to listen to that experience and repeat back what we're noticing, or ask questions that we actually want to understand. So, you know, it might be, well, what's warm to you? I'm intrigued. You know, it might be, you know, when was the last time that you felt anger? You know, we can ask these questions to really explore that person in the context of what they are sharing. And this is kind of like where I feel like healthy vulnerability is when it comes to actually dating. We don't have to make these connections through trauma bonding and going, oh my gosh, my ex left me and this happened and then that happened and it was terrible. You know, we don't have to connect through those ways and, you know, look for sympathy or pity or, you know, being a victim and wanting to be saved. We don't need to do that to actually create connection with someone in a healthy way. So it can just be using these types of techniques where you're echoing or where you're mimicking body language. And the other thing that I think is really, really cool, and this is something I use loads, is being able to ask how and what questions. So, you know, it might be like, oh, so how was your day? How did it go? What do you do for work? Because the funny thing is, any time that you ask a how or a what question, you're asking for at least a sentence from that person. When you ask for things like a why, you know, a why questions can be really defensive. So it's like, why did you wear that shirt today? Because I like this shirt. It can be very, very defensive and shut down. So you're not going to get as much connection from a why question. And also avoid yes and no questions. You know, it's this or that kind of questions. You don't want that because, again, these are very, like, shut down conversations and it's going to be really hard for you to be able to, you know, keep that conversation going. The other questions that you can start with, I think, how and what are the best ones, but you can also use where, who, and there's what is... trying to think which ones there are now. So you've got what, how, who, where, when. Okay, so you've got those that you can go ahead and use to be able to explore conversations, and they can be really, really useful. So I think the other thing that you want to notice as well when you're being open and honest and vulnerable with someone is make sure that the conversation you know, flows and also ping pongs. And my version of ping pong is very much like, okay, are you having a chance to speak about your experience and what you want to share? And are they having the chance to be able to talk to you and share their experience? Because the last thing you want is to be on a date or be in a situation where the person's talking about themselves for 2 to 3 hours and you've literally just said yes or no and nodded and been polite through the whole conversation. It gets boring. You don't feel connected. That person feels really connected because, you know, they feel like they're being seen and understood. But the truth is, you know, the person who's like nodding and going yes, no, and all the rest of it, they don't feel anything. They're like, oh, well, this person doesn't want to know anything about me. I know everything about them. And, you know, the relationship suddenly feels very one-sided for that reason. So that's obviously really, really important to notice. Really, really important. And also what it does show is it shows someone's emotional intelligence and self-awareness and social etiquette. And that's really important. If you think about when you go into a relationship, you want to be able to feel comfortable to leave that person around your friends. You want to feel comfortable with them meeting your family. You know, you don't want to feel like you need to, you know, control the situation or control the conversation that they're having in order to feel comfortable with leaving them with friends and family, you know, to have a conversation and social interaction. So think about those things when you're actually talking to someone. You know, do they have that level of self-awareness? Do they have a good level of social etiquette? Are they emotionally intelligent? So are they asking me questions? Are they making sure the conversation's flowing between us both? Because that's really important. Really, really, really important. So when it comes to, you know, dating and sharing more vulnerable information, like maybe you want to talk about You know, maybe you've been through domestic violence, for example, or you've been through an abusive relationship or a narcissistic relationship, and all of a sudden, you know, they say, oh, you know, let's talk about ex-partners. What happened with you? What I would say in these situations is honestly just feel into what you actually feel comfortable with sharing. And also, what I would say is make sure that you are not sharing this from the wound, you're sharing it from the scar instead. And what that means is make sure you're not like sharing it from a very raw, vulnerable, hurt, traumatized space. Because the funny thing is, where we speak from, we speak to. So number one, we don't want to traumatize that person, because if you've got a highly empathic person, they're going to feel exactly what you're going through as you're sharing the story. And the other thing is, you know, if you're not in a healed space and you're still feeling the pain, you're still feeling the hurt, you're not able to actually fully have that connection with that person. You're not going to be able to have a healthy relationship from that space. So be mindful of what healing that you actually need to do to be able to go into a healthy, loving relationship. I mean, trust me, I've made this mistake. I remember, I think it was about, probably about 7 years ago, and I came out of, a very narcissistic, psychopathic relationship. And I thought, cool, I'm going to go and date. I'm going to go and enjoy myself. And met someone, and it was, you know, it was great. You know, really enjoyed, you know, having chats and, you know, going out and, you know, really, really enjoyed their company. And we got on super, super well. But then suddenly things like play fighting would actually absolutely trigger me. You know how you do like in new relationships, you play fight, you just have a bit of fun, and that absolutely spooked me. I felt my body shut down, and I was almost doing like the wax on, wax off, like get off me, and it was terrible because obviously I saw the pain in that person for realizing what was going on with me, and obviously, you know, I wasn't in a space to be able to deal with that myself, and that closes down connection. So that's really, really important, you know, and the other thing is, it's knowing when to get help with, being able to heal from that as well. If I was going to say anything to myself, like, you know, back then for going through that experience, because I also had a very weird experience where when I went to their flat for the first time, I was looking at the door, looking at the locks, figuring out where the keys were just in case I needed to run out. Bear in mind, this person did nothing to me. They were kind, they were loving, they were a really, really awesome person. But just because past experiences just made me think, okay, I need to act in this trauma, from this trauma, you know, traumatic way kind of thing. And I didn't get help. You know, I did not get any form of help. I did not realize that I needed to heal. And I kind of just shrugged it off, you know. I think that corporate, because I used to work in corporate, I used to work in finance, and I think sometimes, you know, you're kind of taught to have that stiff upper lip. You're taught to, you know, to be able to have, strong shoulders and have almost wear a plate of freaking armor around you. So you can shrug it off. But the truth is, that is so damaging. That is so, so damaging. And it damages connection. It damages that connection with yourself as well. So it's really, really important to go and get help if there's anything that is, you know, traumatizing you, that's something that's really hurt you emotionally. It's really, really important to get help to be able to process that and let that go. If you have gone through experiences and you've gone through that healing, you're going to have the ability to talk from the scar and not from the wound. It's not going to be raw. It's not going to be, you know, emotionally fueled. Okay, and that's important. You know, it's not going to be emotionally fueled, like, oh my gosh, I went through this thing, and oh God, I'm so sad, and you know, whatever it might be. You know, instead, it's going to be, oh, do you know what? You know, we just didn't work out, or yeah, that was an abusive relationship, or you know, it's more matter of fact rather than this emotionally charged thing. And it can, you know, you can still have that level of vulnerability from that space. It's just healthier. Okay, it's healthier. It's, you know, being more mindful and emotionally intelligent. And you can just share what you feel comfortable with sharing. Because I think here's the other thing, you know, when we think about these traumatizing events or anything that's bad happened or talking about exes, you know, you've got a chance to actually self-sabotage here from oversharing and almost treat that person like your therapist rather than someone that you actually want to connect with. And if you are almost going into that zone where you're treating that person like your therapist, well, you're also, you know, heading for something that's going to be highly codependent, which is not a good place to be in a relationship. So it's super, super important that you're actually able to connect in that healthy way. I think the other thing as well about vulnerability, and doing it in a healthy way, is also being comfortable with yourself, with you know, your beliefs, your values, and having that form of self-acceptance of who you are, what you've been through, what your story is, what you want for the future, and being completely clear on that. Because what I tend to see a lot is, you see a lot of people who don't feel comfortable with themselves, and it's almost like, you know, if I was going to think of the, like the kid version, do you remember like being at school and you know you'd have like one of the popular kids go, oh I love pink, and then literally every other girl, you know, in the class are like, oh yeah I like pink too, and the person that wouldn't like pink would be like almost the outlier. You know, it's kind of like the social version of that. Like, do you feel comfortable like to like green if someone else likes pink? You know, do you feel comfortable with your dreams? Have you fully accepted who you are as a person? Because the truth is, you can't connect with another person if you just chameleon yourself into what other people want you to be. You can't connect from that place because you're actually disowning yourself. You're disowning yourself, you're disassociating, and you're doing everything out of a place of just wanting to be loved versus wanting to be, you know, wanting to connect from a place of actually who you are. And I think, you know, if we're being completely open and honest, and also, you know, almost starting from the beginning of what vulnerability actually is, it's the ability to be able to accept yourself fully for who you are, what you want in life, and you know, what you like, what you enjoy, what your beliefs are, what your needs are, and being completely open and honest around that. And, you know, that also brings in boundaries. You know, boundaries are super, super important around protecting those values, protecting those dreams, protecting you emotionally as well. And I think this is where a lot of people tend to go wrong. You know, it's almost like sometimes there's boundaries to push people out, or they don't have any boundaries at all to protect themselves. They don't trust themselves. They don't trust other people. They don't have confidence in social situations. You know, because also there's that underlying of not fully, you know, accepting yourself for who you are. So what I would say is ask yourself this question. What happens if someone rejects you or dislikes you? What does that actually mean? Does it mean that you're a terrible person? Does it mean that you don't deserve love? Does it mean that you shouldn't be accepted? Does it mean that you have to change? No. No, because at the end of the day, you deserve to be loved for who you are. You know, because that's what everyone deserves. And it's also, you deserve to be in a relationship where you have your needs met. So if you can't be honest with yourself about what you actually need in a relationship, what your goals are, who you are as a person, then how do you expect for someone to fully connect to who you are? So if you haven't felt fully seen in relationships. Well, I almost want to challenge you and say, did you fully show up as who you are? And did you fully know who you were in that relationship? I know, pretty deep questions, huh? So, that's super, super important. And I think as well, the other thing is being able to accept, you know, who, if you're on a date with someone or, you know, in a relationship with someone, it's accepting that other person for who they are. It's not wanting to put them down or change them or think, oh yeah, well, if I just love them enough, you know, they can change and they can want this instead. No. You know, you want someone to accept you for you, you need to accept them for them. And if they aren't right for you, just let them go and meet someone who is actually right for you, because that's important. You both deserve to be happy. So, you know, when someone says, oh yeah, I like green, I like purple, or whatever it might be, you don't turn around and go, oh, really? Green? That is so uncool. You should like pink instead. You don't want to change that. Because at the end of the day, that's who that person is. That's their quirks. You know, and I think this is the other thing where a lot of people go wrong in relationships, is they assume that they can change someone. They assume that if they just do this, if they just nag them enough, if they just tell them to do this and to do that, you know, they're going to suddenly change overnight. No. You know, if you can't fully accept that person for who they are, you're probably not in the right relationship. And it's not to say that you don't, you know, you don't learn how to collaborate together. Yes, of course you do. But if you can't accept that person for who they are at their essence, then that's where the problem is, okay? That's really, really important to be able to understand. So it's having that self-acceptance of you, the self-acceptance of them, creating that space where you can both be vulnerable, asking the right questions so you can fully open up. And if you want that instant rapport, then be able to copy their body language, copy the use of words, and that's where you get that lovely intimacy and that vulnerability. And I think, like I said, the other thing is, vulnerability doesn't have to be going into all the negative stuff. It can be talking about dreams, it can be talking about goals, because you can connect on all the fun stuff as well. It can be, you know, the type of pet you had as a child. It can be anything. Because what vulnerability really is, and connection really is just exploring each other and understanding who you are and how you've become that person and who you want to be in the future and how you're going to do it. And what's important to you too? What do you prioritize? And that's why it's so important to be able to understand that. Because you can understand, cool, can I be with someone who prioritizes family? Can I be with someone who prioritizes money? Can I be with someone who prioritizes travel? Can I be with someone who doesn't prioritize kindness? So it's really, really understanding, you know, what you're looking for, how you want to connect, where you are connecting from, you know. And I think this is the other thing, actually. This is pretty deep, actually. So I think we've heard a lot around, you know, things like attachment styles. And I think sometimes when I hear people talk about attachment styles, I kind of cringe. I won't lie. I'm not fully on board when it comes to attachment styles, because I always think if you're getting what you need out of a relationship and you're fully connecting in the right kind of way, you're not going to be anxious and you're not going to be what's the other one? I can't think what it is. So you've got anxious and avoidant. There you go, avoidant. You know, you're not going to be either of those, because you're going to be avoidant if you don't feel good about the other person. You're not going to be like, you know, you're not going to want to sort of be in that relationship and open up and enjoy it. You know, you're probably feeling like, oh no, I'm not feeling keen about this person and wanting to walk away, or not getting your needs met, or feeling like you're able to feel safe enough to open up. And if you're feeling anxious, well, chances are you're not getting your needs met and there's something needs to shift in that relationship. So I struggle with the whole, you know, anxious and avoidant. I don't quite agree with them, because I think the other thing what people tend to do is they tend to go, well, you know, I'm this way because I'm anxious, or I'm this way because I'm avoidant, and they just assume that they need to stay in that pattern. And also they take full responsibility rather than, oh, actually I'm not getting my needs met in my relationship. So, but that's a whole that's a whole other thing. But when it comes to actually where are you connecting from and how you are connecting, you know, look at if you're doing it in a self-sabotaging way or a desperate way. You know, are you doing this out of fear, or are you doing it out of love? You know, if you are you actually sharing the words "I love you" because you're afraid if you don't they're going to run away? Or are you sharing the words "I love you" because that's what you actually feel? Like, you know, it's in your chest. You can just feel it in your body. You just want to share and express how much you love them because you just feel that love. And as you can tell, they are two different places. So, you know, when it comes to that level of vulnerability, where are you sharing it from? Because that will also share with you if you're self-sabotaging, or if you are trying to rescue a situation or a relationship. So that's really, really important. Really, 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 really important. So what I would say is go, you know, if you get a chance, definitely test out the echoing, because that's really, really cool. So if you're in a work situation or anything like that, or a date, and you can do this, like, you can do this obviously in person, you can also do this on the phone, and you can also do this in text messages and emails. So do like look at the words that people use and use them back, and you'll notice that the connection with that person will be a lot stronger. Then with the body language, you know, do test this out as well. So match and mirror. I actually did this in a board meeting and it was fantastic. So I had an idea for this board meeting, and before I wanted to share it, I actually made sure that I copied and I matched and mirrored everyone's body language around the meeting room, and then I shared what I was like wanting to share, and everyone agreed with it. Like, literally everyone was like, yeah, that's such a good idea, da 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 da. And it was because I'd matched their body language. And what you can do from that place as well is you can actually lead. So if I crossed my arms, you know, if someone's crossing their arms, I crossed my arms and I kept it like that and I carried on a conversation with that person, I could actually then transition my hands to my hips, for example. And I can guarantee that they would do the same too, whether it was one arm or both. And that's when you can start to see if someone is actually starting to be led by you. And also, I love doing this in cafes. This is like really, really cool. You can actually see the relationships that are doing really well and the people that are fully connected just by seeing how their body language is with each other. Are they matching their body language? Are they drinking out of their cups at the same time or similar times? And that will give you so much insight to see how well connected those people are. So do give that a go. Definitely, 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 definitely give that a go. And if you're struggling with gaining that rapport, you can also do a few things to open up someone's body language. So you can drop something on the floor, for example, and get them to pick it up. Oh, sorry, do you mind picking that up for me? Oh gosh, I'm so clumsy, whoops. You know, because instantly that person has to unfold their arms, they have to open their body language, they have to pass you something, so you're physically getting closer. So that can actually cause someone to open up a little bit more. Or even get them to pass you something, like, oh, can you pass me a straw over there? That'd be great, thank you. Because again, it just opens them up, and also people love to be able to do things for you. We always feel good when we've done something for someone. So that can open someone's body language up too. The other thing that you can do as well is you can exaggerate your, you know, when people talk with their hands, feel free to talk with your hands, like, and exaggerate it a little bit more. So the more exaggerated you are, you actually bring some excitement to that conversation. You bring some energy. So if you're doing that whilst you're excited about something or feeling happy or feeling good, you actually bring that excitement to that conversation. If you're doing it from an angry place, you're going to intensify the anger. So do be careful when you use this. Do it in, you know, do it with happy thoughts, okay? That's really, really important. So these are the things that I do recommend just trying out and practicing. And, you know, learn about how to really talk to people, you know, where, you know, with the how, who, what, where, when kind of questions. So you can really start to explore and understand someone and create that space of non-judgment. And then the last thing is, make sure you're sharing things out of love, not out of fear. And also, where you're not needing validation from anyone, okay? That's really, really important. You're sharing things because you want them to understand more about you, okay? And share from a healed place, not a traumatized or unhealed place, okay? Because that makes such a difference. So I hope this has been useful to you. You know, if you want to learn more, definitely check out our website, check out the blogs that we've got on there. We've got various free trainings on our website as well. So that's lovewithintelligence.com. So if you do get the chance, I really recommend that you come over, check out some of these trainings, because they're really going to help you in not just finding love, but improving your relationships and improving your connections, and also helping you to enjoy being you some more and enjoy dating again, because that's important. So I'm going to leave it there. Have a wonderful week, and I shall speak to you all soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us on the Love with Intelligence radio show. I'm so grateful that you joined us today, and I'm also so grateful that you are dedicating your time to improve your love life. So, as you are already on this journey, would it be crazy for you to jump over to our website, lovewithintelligence.com, and check out our many resources that's going to support you to enjoy your dream love life now? So that's lovewithintelligence.com, and I shall see you next time. Bye for now.